Hey, sweet friends. My name is Chef Schomburg. I started my baking business with a bottle of DiSerrano and one bundt cake pan. Fast forward to today, from news to magazines, speaking on national stages and more, I can truly say that baking has changed my life. So now, as a bakery business coach, I get to help others have the same success. I've helped hundreds of my students across the world in my global membership program create six-figure businesses, mainly from home. The Baking for Business podcast is an extension of that, from actionable tips to valuable tools and resources that can impact you as a business owner. I truly believe, y'all, we would never have been given a gift if we couldn't profit and prosper from it. So come on, darling, what are you waiting for? Well, hey there, sweet friends. I am so excited to be talking with you guys today. So real quick, let me ask you, do you have a baking business? Do you want to make sure that you have a baking business that's successful? Of course you do. So today's podcast episode is for you. Today, I'm actually going to be covering 8 mistakes to avoid when starting a home baking business. And the reason why I chose 8 was because we recently just hit 8,000 podcast downloads. So yes, claps all around. That's actually 1,000 more than last week. So I do appreciate you guys all from the bottom of my heart. Someone tagged me who was listening in Nigeria. So shout out to all those in Nigeria, as well as Asia, India, Spain, Africa, China, and the United Kingdom. We have some amazing people listening in the UK. So shouts out to everyone, you guys. All right, so let's get into it. So since we have 8,000 downloads, I wanted to share 8 tips to avoid when starting. But guess what? This doesn't cover you if you're starting. This covers you if you were in business, period. And I'm going to go over some things that I know some people don't like to talk about. So let's get into it. Also, real quick, do me a favor. Are you following me on social media? Because y'all know, as a Southern Belle, I love to talk. I will talk back to you. I will tell you have a blessed day. I will love up on you and like some photos. So if you are not, as you're listening to this right now, just pull up Instagram, find Baking for Business, and follow the page so that you can get more business tips, more inspiration, and see when I share classes as well as recipes. Ooh, y'all, I'm sharing a recipe this week. Oh. Okay, you're going to find out when you follow. So Baking for Business, follow the page, as well as go to the website, bakingforbusiness.com/tips, if you want to join the mailing list. And that's where you get all the free alerts and free recipes and podcast alerts also, so you get all the juicy details first. All right, but today, let's get into these tips. Okay, so tip number one, I have my notes here. I want to make sure I don't miss a thing. So one of the first tips is giving yourself a ghetto ass name. Now, I know sometimes people want to be cute and creative. So people like to spell the word cakes with a K instead of a C. And this is, again, not even when you're starting out, but this is just in general. Sometimes we think, well, I want to be cute. I want to be creative. I want to be different. And what happens is that your business, you're trying to get known for a certain thing in your industry. Eventually, maybe you're not looking into it right now, but later on down the line, you're going to be paying attention to things such as keywords, SEO, optimizing your website for higher performance, and stuff like that. Basically, in a nutshell, you want people to be able to find you in your community. What happens is that when you name yourself either something ghetto or something that is common, you're not really giving yourself room to grow in your business. Like, take for instance, a slang, something that, trying to think, let's see, something that people say, but they're not going to say that in the future. So what happens is that you outdate your business. I meet so many bakers who have businesses where they've put slang in their business and it's not cute anymore. They've spelled their business incorrectly. So therefore, it's hard for them to rank on Google. Or what happens is that when people are going to type you, when I'm looking to type a business, cakes, I spell cakes with a C. I'm not thinking to spell cakes how you want me to spell cakes. So what happens is that if I'm on Instagram, TikTok, wherever, I end up passing you over because your name is just ghetto, is all outdoors. And also, people then get stuck in a hamster wheel because then I meet clients or students who say, oh, chef, I want to attract these paying clients. And I'm like, with a name like that, that name is ghetto. You have to get out of your head, get out of whatever you think is cute right now or hip or something like that. Remember that there is power in a name. Your name is what's going to be mentioned in rooms you have yet to walk in. And you don't want the mention of that to be, what? What the fuck is that? And some of you guys, I'm serious, y'all. The name is just out there. It's crazy. It's too much. For instance, there's a young lady. Nope, I'm not even going to say it. So I can't give that example. Because if I give examples, people are going to be like, chef, you said my name on your podcast. And I don't want to take it there. But again, just think of your name. Make sure it's something catchy. It's something that could be easily recognizable. It's spelled correctly. And again, it doesn't need to be long. You don't need a name with 20 damn words. This is something that someone has to type into a website. They have to type this on social media. Sometimes when your name is too long, that's a problem. All right. I myself made this mistake when I first started. My name was Chef Schomburg Sweet Creations. Now I wish I could drop sweets. I hate the word sweets because it's so overused. I would honestly just stick to Chef Schomburg's or Chef Schomburg Bakes, something like that. And that will cover a multitude of things. But to me, sweets is overrated. Creations is overrated. And then I actually had the opportunity to participate in the think tank. And this was years ago when I ended up dropping it. So what happened was that, and that's another thing, we don't get feedback on our name. When people heard the name, they assume I was a crafter, like when it came to creations, right? Crafting and stuff like that. So again, you don't want people to be misguided by your name. So give yourself a name that will last you for eternity, that will help you to stand out, but that is also spelled correctly. All right, moving on from tip number one. Tip number two, not paying your damn taxes. I don't know who lied to you guys and told you, oh, well, if you bake from home, you don't have to pay taxes. That is a lie. So here's what I want you to do. Before you ask in a group, before you get your panties in a bunch, here's what's going to happen. And I'm just trying to save you a headache. Most of my consultations that I have are with students who end up receiving a letter, which is called intent to assess. And this is when your local government will reach out to you, meaning that they want to assess what it is you're making, or they've already came up with their own image because you have failed to pay your taxes. In some states, people have to pay city taxes. Some have to pay state. Some don't have to pay state. It depends on how you operate. But here's what I can tell you. If you are exchanging money, goods for services, you should be paying taxes. Now, there's one thing that bakers say to get around this. And I hate when people say this and they'll say, oh, that doesn't pertain to me. I'm just a hobby baker. Let me tell you something. You're not a hobby baker. Most of you guys hide behind that title in all actuality because you're afraid to step up and actually do things that a legitimate business owner should be doing. If you have a website for your baking business, you're not a hobby baker. If you've created a page for your baking business, you're not a hobby baker. If you have a contract, you're not a hobby. So quit hiding behind that title just because you feel things are difficult or you're a little lazy, because a lot of y'all are lazy and you don't want to look up the work or do the work. Right now, all you have to do is Google in your state or your country, type taxes, the information will come up. If you're in the states, generally Secretary of State, Department of Agriculture. But if you were operating as a cottage home baker or a cottage food producer, there are some taxes that you're going to have to pay. I have yet to run into any baker who's like, oh, well, here in my state, when I bake from home, I'm just 100% out. I don't have to pay taxes. That is a lie. I would love to really see that. Y'all, start paying your taxes, whatever that percentage is. And one tip to help you is I use Square. I love Square. Square has a savings account feature. So what you can do is you can set it to where every single sale you have, Square will take out a percentage of that sale. When you set it like this, what you're doing is you're collecting your taxes from each sale. So that way you don't see it. You don't touch it. It's out of sight, out of mind. Show up every day, or not every day, every month. Yeah, we damn sure don't want to pay taxes every day. However, show up every month when they're due. Submit your taxes to your city or your government. Again, look it up yourself. I don't want people coming at me, chef, I'm in Colorado. Chef, I'm in Spain. Chef, I'm in Michigan. What's the number? What's the rate? I'm going to tell you, do the research. This is where personal development comes in. Start with your local city. Reach out to your state. They would be more than willing to tell you, hey, as a cottage food producer, this is the percentage of taxes you pay, and this is when it's due. Get on it. All right. Because what happens is that when you receive that letter, now you're so bagged up. I know people who've been in business for 4 or 5 years and they avoid it and they think, oh, that didn't pertain to me or I didn't have to do that. Bullshit. Now you've got to catch up because you knew damn well in your heart that you were supposed to be paying taxes. You're just getting around it. All right. So let's avoid that. The minute we get the business license, we call ourselves legitimate, we find our business name, we've got insurance, we've properly insured our business, make sure you're paying your taxes. Okay, you guys, just be a good steward of money. Make sure you're on your financial literacy-ish and pay your damn taxes. All right, so that's that. Next, that's tip number two. Tip number three is feeling guilty about selling. This is one that will keep you broke. I was talking to one of my students and I was looking over her content marketing. And so many of you guys, you know, we're recording the reels, we're pointing, we're doing the damn thing, we're doing all the trends. Oh, I see she flipped the cake upside down. So let me flip a cake. Oh, piping tips is getting a lot of mention. So let me go ahead and pipe. Now, what happens is that we're doing all this content and we think it's going to equate to sales. All right. Content marketing, meaning showing up, talking about your business, the activities and things that you do either with video content or however to market your business. That's one aspect. After content marketing comes having a content strategy. That is your second one, meaning that every 7 days as you're showing up, a certain amount of those sales or a certain amount of those posts, doesn't matter what platform you're posting on, should be geared towards getting you sales. So what happens is that when I'm speaking to students one-on-one and I'm looking over their account and they're telling me their sales are low, I'm like, oh, well, I see why. Because I tell you guys all the time, closed mouths don't get fed. So this includes small things such as including a call to action on each one of your posts, including links directly to where people can buy your products and services. And please don't make the buying process hard because that's another mistake too, but we'll talk about that on another podcast or show. However, you should not feel guilty about selling. This needs to be included in your verbiage. This should be included in your captions. If you're doing stories, this needs to be included. Now, if you feel, chef, I'm shy, I'm an introvert, whatever it is that you're going to hide behind, great. Here's the thing. I don't believe people are any of those things. I just believe it's easier to label yourself as that. And then once you label yourself as that, you hide behind that. Now, if you have those characteristics, that's another thing. However, I'm not going to label you an introvert. I'm just going to say you are introverted. So what are we going to do to work on that? Right? Because I can take action, but I can't take inaction. Okay. So if you know you're introverted, great. What books are you going to at the library? How are you reading? How are you developing more personal development in your life so that you can overcome that? Because if you're afraid to open up your mouth, you're not going to get paid. And then that's going to be a problem. So that's something that I want you guys to think about. Feeling guilty about selling. Okay. Another thing is that what happens with a lot of you guys, I noticed that you take your personal financial situation and you project that onto your clients. Well, I'm on a budget. Well, I know things are tight. So, you know, I don't really want to charge my worth. I don't really want to. No, that's you. You have a personal problem with money right now because I'm definitely speaking wealth and abundance over you. However, if you're in a situation to where things are tight, and if you're in a situation to where maybe you can't afford a luxury cake, that doesn't mean your client is. So what happens is that you're afraid to ask for that money because you think as a mom of six, as a mom of four, as someone who has all these bills, you think, oh my gosh, I would never pay hundreds of dollars for a cake. So I'm not going to ask them to. No, you need to remove yourself from that situation. Your finances is not your client's finances. And you should be very strategic in making sure that you are putting your business in front of people whose finances don't even look like your finances. So that's a whole nother thing altogether, which is why bakers struggle with not knowing their ideal client, because just because you're struggling and your friends and your homie Bone Kwee Kwee and Bubba and Billy Bob, they're on the struggle bus. You're trying to sell to them and you're trying to sell to a bunch of people that are on the struggle bus. Get off of the bus, go on the other side of town, advertise yourself to where you can position yourself in front of people who will pay, and don't feel guilty about it. At the end of the day, you are exchanging goods for services. If they don't pay you, they're going to pay someone else. So you need to be real specific in all this content marketing, all this pointing that you're doing on social media. Make sure that when you're pointing, that you're pointing and asking people for some money, that you're telling them, tap the link in my bio to book. Reserve your order today. Give me a call, 225-555-5555, and let's put this in the books now. Sales terminology, advertising, all of that is a part of you being a business owner. So you have to make sure that you're showing up and asking for the sale. All right. So that's number three, feeling guilty about selling products or not opening your damn mouth, because closed mouths don't get fed. Number four is saying yes to everyone. And this is a big one. I know so many bakers who have baker burnout. And honestly, what this comes from is two things. Is number one, some of you guys operate in a mindset of scarcity. You feel that every order is for you and every order is not. So what happens is that when you know you're booked, you know damn well the amount of time it takes you to make cupcakes, to make a cake, you keep taking more, 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 more. And so when people come at you at the last minute, now you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess I could stay up. Oh, okay, I guess I could pull an all-nighter. No, as a business owner, you need to set boundaries. And sometimes, well, I know this person. Well, it was the pastor. What was the person at my church? I don't care who the hell it is. If it's your best friend, I don't care if it's your damn mammy. Because let me tell you something, the people closest to you are usually the ones who will come at you with that last minute bullshit anyways. What you need to do is develop tough skin. At the end of the day, as a business owner, you should have a set amount of hours. Your phone shouldn't be ringing late at night. People shouldn't be calling you for anything. When you are booked, you are booked. Let me tell you something. When you go to the hairstylist, and you're sitting there and you have an 11 o'clock appointment and you notice she's working on other people's hair, heads, whatever, heads is what we call it. But you have an 11 o'clock appointment. It's 11:30 and she still hasn't gotten to you. How do you feel? You get pissed, right? You think to yourself, why did you tell me you can fit me in for a hair appointment knowing damn well that you're behind? Well, that happens also to clients. When you're running late with orders, that throws their schedule off. They came to you to be the professional, but because you didn't have enough strength or courage to say, hey, you know what? At the current time I'm booked, I can't take your order. Now you're running behind. You're running late. This causes you to get ugly ass box shots, right? So now you're not showing up on social media as professional as you should. All of this is a domino effect. Every time a baker tells me I have baker burnout comes because you're not managing your time. Poor time management comes because you're not opening your mouth and saying, hey, I'm sorry, we're booked, right? Why do you not open your mouth? That comes from a spirit of scarcity, because you're afraid or because something inside of you feels like, well, if I tell a person no, that they won't come back. So you're afraid that you're going to lose a customer. You're not operating in a mindset of abundance. You guys, clients are everywhere. Customers are everywhere. People are everywhere. Your city has hundreds of thousands of people. You only need about a solid 100 regulars to stay successful and profitable. Tell that person no. Hey, look, thanks so much. I appreciate you reaching out to me. Because remember, it's not what you say, but how you say it. However, unfortunately, we're currently booked at the moment. But I know some other amazing, great bakers. Let me refer you. Be okay giving business away. It's okay. Trust me, the more you give out, the more that's going to come back to you tenfold. I promise you that. But you have to stop saying yes to everyone. And by everyone, I also mean people and organizations that want you to donate. So now it's on your spirit. Oh my gosh, well, if I don't donate, I'm a bad human. No, you're not. You have your own charitable organizations and things that you support. So when someone reaches out to you, hey, I appreciate that. Our company does a certain amount of donations per year. Unfortunately, we've already received our match, but thanks so much for reaching out to you. And I wish you much success with your business. That also includes pop-ups. Sometimes people will come at you with a pop-up opportunity. Yes, girl, I'm going to put your business in front of so many people. I'm going to give you so much exposure. And you look on their page, their feed is ugly as hell. Their graphics are thrown off. They're having a pop-up somewhere in the damn hood, somewhere down deep in a trailer park that you never even heard of. But because you're operating out of a spirit of desperation, rather than telling them, you know what? I don't think this fits me. You do it. So what happens now? You've made all this stuff. You show up because I hear the stories over and over, and it's not successful. it doesn't yield the return that you want it to, all because you did not set and establish boundaries. All right. So number four, you guys, stop saying yes to everyone. Okay. Every time you say yes to someone else, you're saying no to yourself. Remember that. The yes that you say should always be yes to you. Yes to what works for you. Yes to building your business. Yes to what's going to help you create generational wealth for your children. Yes to what's going to make you a better man or human or woman. Say yes to yourself, all right? But quit saying it to everyone else. Tip number five, offering too many goddamn products and being too emotionally attached to the products that you offer. This is something that a lot of people struggle with that I've worked with. Number one, offering too many products. What happens is that every time someone brings you something, you know it's not necessarily what you specialize in. You said for a fact, hey, I'm going to specialize in macaroons. I'm going to specialize in celebration cakes. But then someone comes and they're like, can you do a cocoa bomb? Yes, you can do it. But should you do it? No, you already decided when you started your business that, hey, this is what I'm going to walk in. Now, having 3 to 4 different product offerings, there's nothing wrong with that. I feel that. But some of you guys, you do something different every damn day. So what happens is that rather than standing out, we talked about this in a previous episode, how to stand out in a saturated market, you blend in. So now there's nothing that people know you for because you're the jack of all trades, but a master of none. Right? So offering too many products, when you confuse, you lose. People don't have a personal attachment to you. So therefore, when they don't remember you, they're not calling you because you're all over the place. And that's another thing that I hate for you guys to do. Quit practicing on clients. I hate that. You're going in a group asking a million and one questions about a cake you've never done just because you wanted that order so bad. And some of you guys are on jobs. It's not like you're even desperate for money. You're just going in. Oh, okay. So you end up doing something. And you know deep down in your heart that that was not your best work. Why? Because you were new to that. If you decide to want to take on a new skill, practice on dummies. Do not practice on people. That's not a good look. Because then when I'm in some of these groups and you guys get offended, oh, well, they complained about this. They complained about that. I'm thinking, hell, I would complain too. That looks nothing like the damn picture. You knew you couldn't deliver. But again, we go back to saying yes to everyone. However, you wanted to offer a product just so you can get the sale. Don't do that. All right. Quit offering so many products. Narrow down your menu. And another thing when it comes to your menu, because that was double-sided. As a creative, there comes a time where we have to take the creative hat off and put the business owner hat on. I have a couple students who I've helped with this, and I love the fact that they were finally able to get over themselves. One, I'm just going to say her name in short, is Lynn, but she's actually located in Louisiana. So shout out to Lynn. She does beautiful, amazing wedding cakes and all types of stuff. But don't get me wrong. When people wake up out of bed every day, they're not craving a wedding cake. So she would get asked for her pies and stuff all the time, but she would be so focused on the wedding cakes. Well, what happened was that whenever there's a downward trend and she's like, okay, well, I could be using some sales right now. Great, girl, get in there and make them pies. She wasn't focused on it as much because her mind was always on the wedding cakes, doing the wedding cakes, sculpting the wedding cakes. Turns out her clients buy pies and cinnamon rolls and things like that every day because that's stuff that they wanted to eat. You may not be getting booked for wedding cakes every single day. So when you're not getting booked for the things that even your heart desires, there are other things that you can make. Make sure that you are making the things that your clients are asking for. Once she shifted her focus and started focusing on things that her clients want, the doors open. I'm talking about the girl is getting corporate accounts left and right. She's working with other people. Her orders are increasing. Why? Because she's making what her clients wanted from her, and not necessarily, I don't want to say what she wanted, but what she wanted to focus on more. Now, can she still do wedding cakes? Hell yeah, absolutely. Also, she's an amazing teacher. So DM me if you want her information. She will start teaching classes soon. I got the heads up on that. And that's definitely a person that you want to learn from. Her style is so amazing. She's so kind. She's so kind-hearted. However, as creatives, you guys have got to stop doing the things that make you happy and start doing and creating with your customer in mind, because that's the person that's going to be buying from you. So if you're not using like the poll features on Instagram, if you're not going live in on any social platform, if you're not getting feedback from your clients and saying, hey, what is it that you want to see from me? How can I help you? You're going to find that the orders will dwindle because you're not putting out what it is that people want for you. You're just always practicing. There's another young lady who does this all the time. She does these beautiful luxury cakes. She puts cupcakes on cakes. She's always, always practicing cakes. And I'm like, yo, I'm a big girl. If I roll out of bed every day, I don't want a cake that big. Could you offer a mini cake? Do you do cupcakes? Like, what else do you do? But when all you showcase to people is the things that make you happy versus the other things that you know you should be doing, then when people aren't booking those things, you have to remind yourself, okay, what is it that they want from me? How am I helping them? Am I making sure to provide what they're asking for? So that also comes with having a more strategic content marketing strategy. You should be rotating your offers. So to the person who offers cakes and cupcakes and pies and stuff like that, make sure that you're always rotating. Don't just show up and I look over your content for a whole month and you show nothing but cakes. Or not, well, not nothing but cakes, literally, but you show nothing but the cakes that you do. Make sure that you're intentional with rotating your content strategy so that your clients can see all the good things you do. All right. I know the cakes make you more happier than the cupcakes. I know they make you smile more. But again, we're here to serve our audiences. So be mindful of offering too many products and of not offering the right products that people actually want. All right. The next thing, tip number six, is not taking a retainer. So I know so many people who allow their clients to pay when they pick up. That for me is a no-no. I don't do COD, which is called cash on demand or cash on delivery. All of you guys should be taking a retainer, and you should have that verbiage listed in your contract. The closer people are to you, the more you want a retainer, because I find what happens is that people let their guard down when it's someone close to them because they feel they could trust them. Let me tell you something. Usually it's the people in your life that you feel you can trust that will actually be one of the first ones to fuck over you before anybody else. So especially when it comes to family and those type of people, make sure that you are not taking COD, cash on demand. Okay. You get your retainer, you get your money, because then what happens is that you're dipping in personal money when you shouldn't be dipping in personal money to complete a business transaction. Your personal money and your business money should be separate. Okay. All right. So make sure that your money doesn't jingle, it folds, and you need to get that money ahead of time before you complete the order. I actually make all my customers pay for everything 100% upfront. But again, I don't do wedding cakes. If you did wedding cakes, I could understand wanting to take a retainer. But if it's an order of cake pops, cupcakes, a pound cake, I don't care what it is, how little or how small, you are not paying me when you pick up. I want my money when you book, and I want it now. And if that's a problem, then I'm not the person for you. Okay. So be mindful of that. Number seven is not measuring what matters. This is huge. I know so many people who are stuck on they want followers, and they're not paying attention to the things that can actually move the needle in their business. One of the things you need to be concerned with is what is the amount of traffic you are getting to your website? And if you're new and you don't have a website, that's another little bonus tip, but you need a website. A website is your digital presence. No one wants to DM you to order. If you make the buying process harder, they're not going to buy from you. So hopefully no one listening to this has that problem. Get a website, okay? Not measuring what matters will leave you so far behind. So one of the things I can recommend that I wish I would have known way early on is to have an email list and to start building an email list. That is one of the things that you need to do, because you do not keep or you do not have total access of your followers. And if your account gets hacked, like so many people's accounts does get hacked, you're going to be crying, oh, my customers, oh, my followers, oh, my this. Also, social media platforms change. I remember back in the day when I first started, I started off on Periscope. Now Periscope is gone, honey. Some of you guys started off on MySpace. Some of you guys even see now Facebook is dead. It's like a ghost land. I feel like all the old people hang out on Facebook. Shout out to all my students who are older, y'all. I'm not saying anything bad, but y'all know what I mean. And that's okay, because you're supposed to pick a platform that your customers are on. So even if I feel like Facebook is ghost town, if Facebook is on and popping for you, you listen to your analytics. Those are the things for you to measure. So be sure that you're paying attention to where does my traffic come from on my website? That's a good thing, an indicator. What is my bounce rate? Your bounce rate is the percentage of people that land on your site, but then they get the fuck off your site, right? You need to be checking that every single week, because if people are coming to your site, but then they're not spending time there, that means some things need to be changed. What does your homepage look like? What do your photos look like? Did the photo on Instagram lead them to your website? But now once they get to your website, the imagery doesn't match what they were first initially seeing, so they leave. Is there not a buy button? Do you not have your hours or a number listed? Is it hard for them to communicate? There are so many amazing factors that need to be listed on your home page. And what happens is that when they're missing and people land on your page, we're quick. We're living in a microwave society. People want answers now, like that. So when they land on your page and they don't see what it is they thought they were coming from, honey, they're about to get off of your shit and go on to your competitors, okay? That's why you have to really pay attention to measuring what matters. Every single week, I call it tiger time, but once a week, I take the time to not just work in my business, but to work on it, to pay attention to my open rate for emails. I need to pay attention to that. I need to check my ads. I need to check my website visitors, but I also want to pay attention to how long was their session. When people do find me on my website, how long do they spend on my website? Another thing you want to check on is what are opportunities, that you can be taken advantage of on certain pages. So for some of you guys, I have Wix. I love Wix. I have an amazing designer. He is all that and a bag of chips. My students have access to them. They get websites that are made super affordable. Shout out to Ali in Morocco, because I know he's listening. So one of the things I love about Wix, and not just Wix, any platform, it's going to tell you, hey, people are really visiting this page. Hey, this page is least visited. So what I need to do is, if I notice that it's a page that people are really visiting, how can I take more advantage of that opportunity, right? Or if it's a page that people aren't visiting, and I'm like, man, okay, people aren't visiting this page, but I notice it's really, really important. What aspects can I add to it to make sure that when people are on my site, they are actually visiting? All of those things matter more than, I wish I had more followers. I wish I could just get more followers. You don't have a follower problem. You have a sales problem. And generally, you have a sales problem because you have a traffic problem. And normally, you have a traffic problem because you have a website or marketing problem. Because if you're not getting the traffic, number one, you don't know how to get the traffic. That means because your ass isn't getting out in marketing. You're not doing what it is you're supposed to do. So every time somebody tells me, oh, I struggle with this, I struggle with this. No, you don't. There's always a layer. And guess what, guys? I'm always here to pull back those layers and get to the real. So holler at me whenever you're ready to work with me or whenever you need me. But remember, you have to measure what matters. I've seen people with less than 3,000 followers make six figures. I've also seen people make national news because they had over 100,000 followers and they couldn't even sell 10 items. Matter of fact, one of my students was showing me something last week. A young lady had this meet and greet. She had over, I think, about 200,000 followers on TikTok. No one showed up. Okay. Quit paying attention to vanity metrics. You don't need followers, honey. You need systems. You need to check your analytics. You need to dive deeper. You need to personally invest in your own personal development so that you can get better at business. All right. So that's number seven. Number eight is not creating SOPs. SOPs are what we call standard operating procedures. When you go into business, no one tells you how to operate, right? When you're on a job, they're like, okay, this is what you do. You clock in here. You have to be here. Every week you need to turn in this. Every day you need to do this. This needs to be done before lunchtime. And this needs to be done when you clock out, right? It's just like when you're growing up. When you're growing up, we have parents. Oh gosh, I miss my mama. Somebody who could just tell me what to do, right? And I didn't have to figure the shit out for myself. Shout out to all of you guys also who have a mother or father that's no longer here on earth, but they're in heaven. But let me tell y'all something. Y'all know every time you do something and you make a move and you hear that little voice and you're like, damn, I know that's my mom. I shouldn't have done that shit. That is your intuition. Your intuition can guide you to set up your standard operating procedures. What do I mean? I know so many students who say, can you believe this client called me late? can you believe they text me at this time? And I tell people, yeah, I can believe it because you have no hour set up. Or I can believe it because you allowed it. Because the first time they text you at 10 or 11 p.m., rather than looking at that shit and not even responding, you decided, oh, I'm up, so I'm going to message them back. Oh, hell no. I don't care if I'm up and near my phone. When 7 p.m. comes, I'm not answering you. Because when I say I'm closed at 7 p.m., that means I'm closed. Just because I have my phone on me, I don't care if I'm still up and walking around. I am closed for business. There becomes a time where you have to clock out as a business owner. And you have to clock in and start being a wife and start being a mom. Be very respectful of your time. Make sure you're setting up boundaries. So what happens is that when we had parents, they told us what to do. And when we were on a job, our jobs told us, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. But now you're self-employed, you may struggle with boundaries. And guess what, y'all? It's okay. I'm not fussing at y'all at any of these tips. Please pardon me if it sounds like I'm fussing. I'm just here to really put your ass up on game because I want you to change. You're too amazing to have all this talent and to have one of these mistakes. Also, because I wish this was something that someone would have told me in the beginning. So let's go over some common SOPs. Number one, what is your contract? Do you have a contract? Square has contracts included. You can start there as a base. I love Square. I'll put a link to the show notes. If no one is not using Square, it's amazing. Side note, I always meet students also who are like, Chef, I wish I had money. I wish I had funding. If you were processing your sales through Square instead of all these other places, well, Cash App now has expanded their services, but hindsight, Square offers capital. So you could have actually received funding for your business. That's why I love Square. Square monitors your sales. So it tells you what you're selling a lot of, what you're not selling a lot of. That information is key and that data is golden because it allows you to do what we call sales forecasting, meaning that you can show up and you can properly plan for the next holiday based on the data and the research that you have. Some of you guys, the reason why your promotions are so bad or the reason why you don't get sales is because there's no planning going on. That's why they say prior planning prevents poor performance. That's the five P's. If you've never heard of that, prior planning prevents poor performance. If you want to take it up a notch, because I'm in the South, there's actually six P's. Prior planning prevents piss poor performance, meaning that if you would have thought it out, then your ass would not have messed up. And I don't want you to mess up, baby. So be sure you have a contract in place. Be sure you have a standard amount of hours. This is when I operate. This is when I'm open. This is when I close. Be sure you have a refund policy. You want a refund from me? This is what I need. What is your refund policy? Be sure you have, what is a policy within your contract? How long do people have before they're able to change something? You don't want someone coming up to you 3 days before and it's something that you did. Oh, I want to change. Oh, well, you didn't tell me, right? You didn't tell me I couldn't change. All of those things are your standard operating procedures. Your standard operating procedures should be a Bible as to how you run your business and how you show up. This way you have something else to blame. So that way when clients are talking, you can say, hey, per our policy, right? Because you have a policy because you've taken the time to write it out. This is what we do. And this is how we operate. And this is how we move. Okay. So that's tip number eight, not creating standard operating procedures. Whew, you guys. We were through a gang of tips and I was trying to get through them quick because I didn't want y'all to be listening to a long ass podcast. For some of you guys, y'all know, I generally like when I'm doing solo episodes for them to be around 30 minutes. That way I hope that I'm spending lunchtime with y'all because you know, your girl loves to eat. So I want to spend time with you during lunch. So matter of fact, do me a favor. If you're listening right now during lunch, screenshot this with your meal while you're listening. I want to see what you're eating because I'm actually kind of hungry myself. If y'all heard my tummy rumble while I was recording, I'm sorry. But I hope these eight tips help you. Y'all keep these in mind. And also, that's another thing. Tag me if you're listening. I don't want to know what tip pertains to you because I'm not trying to call you out. All I want to know is that you're doing the work to make a change. It's okay if you're guilty of one of these things or if you notice, oh, shit, I do that. That's cool. But what's not cool is to know that you're doing a mistake and not have the behavior to address it. That's what's not cool. Okay. I want y'all to get the help you need because I truly do believe that once you change your perspective, you will set yourself up for success. And that's what this is all about, honey. You're baking for business. So you might as well be sure that you're baking yourself I don't want to use that, but you might as well be sure that you're making yourself show up and be the best version that you can be. And as we continue to work on these mistakes, what happens is that we strengthen as a community. And as an industry, we stand up and we start to demand more and people take us serious. And that's what you want. I met a young lady once. I have the opportunity. I'm what's called a Facebook leader. So I'm in a leaders network. Shout out to all the Facebook leaders who are listening, because I know there are other creatives that listen. And when we were in Washington, D.C., I got to go. Facebook flew me out to learn. And I love learning directly from Facebook because I pour all of that into my students who are in my private monthly group coaching program so that I could help them show up and be better versions. But I remember one woman telling me she had ordered from this lady. The young lady was late. The item that she ordered didn't look like the picture. Turned out the young lady had borrowed somebody else's picture. And because of that, she was like, I will never order from somebody out of their house again, because the whole situation was just a hot mess. And I hated that because I thought, wow, your one interaction with this one person who made several of these mistakes, not having standard operating procedures, practicing on people, offering things that she knows she couldn't commit to, borrowing other people's photos. You should never borrow a photo and use a photo of someone that you know you can't deliver the work on. So now, because of the interaction that she had, her whole demeanor, her whole perspective of how she looked at home bakers was changed based off of one interaction. And she was shocked when I told her I was a home baker. She said, but you seem so professional. Yes, there are people who are professional, and I'm sorry you had a bad experience. So when we come together and strengthen ourselves as a community, we demand more respect from our industry, and people will give us that respect. But we first have to have an open heart and an open mind to change the things that we need to work on. All right, you guys. So do me a favor. Tag me on Instagram if this helped you. I hope that you correct one of these mistakes if you need to. And I really enjoyed spending time with you guys today. If you're not following me on Instagram, follow me at baconforbusiness.com. Work on this, y'all, because y'all are way too dope and way too amazing to receive less than the best. And I think you guys are all amazing. So let's avoid these mistakes so we can get this money. All right. I will see you guys next week. Thanks so much for listening. Bye for now.